Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms and ladies out there. We're so thankful for you today. Thank you for joining us this morning for worship and for the message. I hope that you get something out of it, and I hope that you are enjoying your Mother's Day. I hope it's an easy day for you. I hope it's one that you can relax and take a little time, maybe to reach out to your mother, and maybe your kids are pampering you this morning, making you breakfast. Let's hope so. But I hope that you're having a great Mother's Day. And this morning, just grab everybody, all your family, bring them around the television, your computer, smartphone, whatever you have right now, however you're listening or watching this. And we ask that you would just participate with us this morning as we go through our scriptures and as we hear from the Lord this morning. I pray that this week is going to be a blessing for you. Hopefully we'll be back together and we can truly celebrate Mother's Day together as a church family when we get back together, and we can give our moms some gifts. But till then, grab your Bible and get your coffee, as always, and we'll get to it. So before we get into the message this morning, I want to tell you a little story that I read since it's Mother's Day, and I thought it was appropriate for today. It starts out one afternoon when a man came home from work, and as he drove up and parked his truck in the driveway, he noticed his three children, ages 6, 4, and 3, were all outside playing in the mud. There were a couple of empty cereal boxes and candy wrappers strewn all over the front yard. The front door of the house was wide open, and a couple windows were open and cracked a little bit. The doors of his wife's car was open. As he walked into the house, the man found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over and broken. The television was blaring out a cartoon show. There was a pile of sugar in the recliner, and the family dog was foaming at the mouth and had been drooling, running around in circles. Obviously, it had been licking the sugar. There were dirty clothes scattered all over the living room, and the kids' toys were everywhere. The kitchen dishes were filled, overflowing from the sink. There was a broken pitcher that had probably contained Kool-Aid, because the Kool-Aid was all over the floor. The refrigerator door was wide open, and it looked like the dog had actually drug out several of the items, including a couple dozen of eggs. The man was kind of getting worried that something happened to his wife. He quickly ran up the stairs, stepping over and tripping over piles of toys and clothes, and he opened the bedroom door, and there he saw his wife curled up in bed with her headphones on, still in her pajamas, reading her favorite book. She looked up and smiled and asked him how his day was. So he looked at her totally confused and said, "What in the world happened here today?" She smiled again and answered, "Well, you know how every day when you come home from work and ask me what in the world I did today. Well, today I didn't do it." Thought it was funny because this kind of reminds you of how much our wives and mothers do that we don't even realize how much work they do. I believe with all my heart that mothers are one of the most important roles on earth. George Washington, our first president, said this about his mother: "All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in this life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, said, "I remember my mom's prayers, my mother's prayers, and they've always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel of a mother." Our 25th president, William McKinley, said, "By the blessings of heaven, I mean to live, die, and in all things please God in the faith of my mother." Great preacher Charles Spurgeon, who I've quoted multiple times, says, "I cannot begin to tell you how much I owe the solemn word of my good mother. All the books of the world could not contain her godly influence upon me. And John Calvin said, the noblest calling in the world is that of a mother. She who rears a family of God-fearing sons, God-fearing sons and daughters, whose immortal soul will be exerting influence throughout the ages, long after she's gone, long after paintings have faded and books have worn thin, mothers deserve the highest honor that a man can give. So I struggle every year on Mother's Day, and I share this with my wife every year. I struggle on Mother's Day too, because when it comes around, it's hard to preach. I feel like I don't really have much to say to mothers about being a mother, and so it's hard when you try to write down and get a sermon together and come up with something that, how can you inspire a mother? And so it's one of those, every Mother's Day, I have to pray and ask the Lord to help me. And you know, and the thing of it is, and I always stress this, is that Mother's Day is bigger than just about women who have children. I believe that Mother's Day is a symbol of a godly woman, of a blessing that God has given each woman on earth to have this ability. Whether you have children or not, whether they're your children or your adopted children, I believe that God has instilled in women this ability to, this God-given ability to nurture people and nurture others and to always put other people before themselves. And that's just an incredible thing. So today, like I do every day, I don't want to just honor the moms. We honor the idea of motherhood. Anybody can carry the title of mom. It takes a woman of God to be a true mother. And I think the best place to start is talking about bad moms. Okay. Have you ever thought that you were a bad mom? I know my wife has said, I'm a horrible mother sometimes when she's disciplining Addie or she's getting on to her. And I've heard her say before, I feel like a horrible mother sometimes. But most of us don't think that we're absolutely the worst. There were some pretty bad moms in history. One of the worst ever was Ma Baker. In the 1930s, she was seen as one of the highest criminals by the FBI. In fact, J. Edgar Hoover said that she was the most vicious, dangerous, and resourceful criminal brain of the last decade. And this woman, Ma Baker, turned crime into a family business. Her sons, Herman, Lloyd, Fred, and Arthur, jumped into the family business, murder, kidnapping, carjacking, robbing, all learned those things from their mother. So that's, you know, that's, if you want to know what bad parenting is, look, you can look at Ma Baker. In 1935, she and one of her sons were killed in a shootout with the FBI. So, I mean, it's, if you want to know what a bad mom is, that's what a bad mom is. When you think that you're a bad mom, just think of Ma Baker. There's even worse. It comes to Mary Ann Cotton. Now, she sounds like a sweet lady. What a sweet lady she would sound like. But in the 19th century, she was a nurse, a dressmaker, and a housekeeper in England. But she had a secret hobby. She poisoned and killed 11 of her 13 children, all four of her husbands, two lovers, plus two other people, all for their insurance money. Arsenic was her murder weapon of choice. She racked up a total body count of 21 people that she killed before Scotland Yard captured her. And she died from hanging in March 24th of 1873. Moms, when you think you're a bad mom, think of these ladies. You are not a bad mom. Let's look into the animal world. We've looked at, you know, history. There's the African black eagles. They usually lay two eggs, and then they proceed to feed only one of the chicks after the egg hatches. Well, what happens to the other egg? Its sibling pecks it to death while the mom watches. Can I tell you again, moms, you are not horrible mothers, okay? In Proverbs 31, 28 through 29, it says, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. We have some incredible ladies in our church at Kelloggsville and some incredible ladies in our community. And And even those who are not mothers, don't have children of their own, or they have adopted children, they are so special to us, and they mother us all, because I think it's a God-given instinct. Moms, when you feel like you're doing a bad job, please give yourself some grace. You're doing better than you think. But there weren't just bad moms in history, and there weren't bad moms in the animal world. There were some pretty bad moms in the Bible. In 2 Kings, there's a lady named Athaliah. After the death of her husband and son, who reigned as kings, she massacred all but one of her own family so that she could rule over Judah. Or how about Lot's daughters in Genesis 19? Now, because there might be some little ears in the room, I won't say what Lot's daughters did but to become mothers, but you can read that for yourself in Genesis 19 if you want to. But how about Herodias? Herodias, horrible woman. She was responsible for the death of John the Baptist because she told her husband, because John said that her and her husband were living in sin. So she had Herod kill John. She made her daughter dance the sensual dance to get him to go along with this at a huge party. And you can read about that in Mark 4:8. Her request was John the Baptist's head on a platter. Terrible mother. What about Eve? I mean, the mother of every living person on the planet. Imagine being remembered as the person who served as our severed this relationship with God, that's what she's known for. Not the greatest decision. Her character and her husband, they transformed everything that we know. And the sin that is there because of that. You got two sons, the first homicide ever. She's the first mom to ever have to bury a child. And the thing is that I think we could get from Eve is that, you know, generations are affected by the things that we do. Ladies, you are not a bad mom. We have a church filled of incredible mothers and anointed mothers that some of them have never had mothers of children of their own. And some of them even had bad mothers. But there were some great women in the Bible, some great moms in the Bible. Jochebed is one I think of this week. Moses's mother. She's only mentioned in Scripture twice in the entire Bible. This woman is mentioned two times. She kept Moses as a child for 3 months, hid him, and so that his life would be spared by the Pharaoh. And then at the heart, she had to do one of the hardest things a mother would have to do. Is she gives up her child and she puts him in a basket. She builds a small ark for Moses, puts him in the water, and sends him off and prays that God will protect him. And because she knew that God had given him to her as a gift, but she had to let go of her son. But the good thing about it was that the Pharaoh's daughter was the one who found this baby and actually had his own mother, Jochebed, had her be the nurse this baby until it got old enough to go into the palace. And God honored her and allowed her to end up raising Moses and teaching him about his people. You can read that through Scripture. Sarah, the mother of Isaac, she waited 25 years to have a child. She gives hope to every woman who still has not had a child. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, a woman of prayer, prayed for a son, begged God for a son. And when she had him, she kept the promise that she'd made to God, and she released him into doing ministry. Naomi, the mother of Ruth, she was an incredible woman, so incredible that Ruth chose to stay with her after the death of her husband, which was her son. Something about Naomi that caused Ruth to just love her and care for her and support her like she was her own mother. And then we think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, this pregnant teenager, huge problem in her society. I mean, she could have been stoned to death because she chose to be obedient to God and give birth to the Savior of the world. Just an incredible resume that she has. She gave birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And not only that, she had to live with the pressure. I mean, can you imagine, moms? You have pressure already. Could you imagine having to be the mother of the Savior of the world? I mean, come on. How intense and incredible would that be? And then we find out in John that she had to stand and watch her son go through the things that he went through. So the Bible teaches this so much about godly womanhood, and that's what we want to celebrate today. The Bible teaches that a woman carefully and watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. That's from Proverbs 31:27. Ladies, you have a remarkable ability to go on and go on and go, 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 even when your husband or husband gets home and he sits down to relax and watch TV. You just keep going. You make suppers. You do laundry. You fold laundry. You do dishes. I mean, there's so much that you do. And you're constantly thinking about the greater good for the lives that are around you. Mothers have an incredible impact on our society. Did you know that there are about 139 million Mother's Day cards purchased on Mother's Day every year? And that's pretty incredible, thinking that Father's Day, there's only about 94 million. So moms are way more loved than fathers. There was a man that compared this. He said that, you know, he's proud. He poured himself into his son's life. He taught him to play baseball, football, basketball, took him hunting and fishing, taught him how to drive. And then when the kid goes off to college and plays ball for the college team, on network television, the person he thanks for all of it is his mother. And that's just an incredible thing. Our moms represent influence. I want to encourage you moms today, the next several moments that we spend together through Scripture, I want you to grab some thoughts today. There's so many pressures on moms to fit a mold, to be the perfect wife, the mother, the cook, the coach, the chauffeur, the maid, the doctor, the therapist, the secretary, and still have time for their kids. That's after they get done with their husbands. Moms, ladies, can I let you just take a moment to let you know that we're sorry for the pressure that society puts on you to feel that you have to be perfect in everything that you do. There are three things that I think are super important for us today. Number one is, don't believe television and social media. Nobody is perfect. And social media, sometimes you get these pictures of these moms of just these prim and proper things. Everything's in place. You see these nice pictures of all the kids have their hair combed just right and the house looks nice and everything. You realize that there's so much chaos that goes in behind those pictures and things that are posted on social media. Moms, don't compare yourself to yourself and your kids and your husband to anybody else through the lens of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Those are just snapshots. Those tiny little moments. They crop out those the trashy house. They crop out the overloaded sink. They crop out those things. It's just a snapshot. Paul tells the church in Rome in Romans 12:3, he says, "I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measure yourself by the faith God has given us." Social media is not honest. It typically shows the highs and not the lows of someone's life. Moms, do not believe the hype that you have to live up to somebody else's expectations. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You are unique and made by God, and He made you the way He did for a reason. When you try to compare yourself to other moms and what everybody else is doing on social media, you're gonna get discouraged and you're gonna get depressed. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't think that we think that of you either. One of the things I love about my wife, Andrea, who's an incredible mom, she's one of the most humble servants I've ever known. She always puts everybody else before herself. She pushes everybody to the spotlight, and she's constantly taking a back seat. Anything good you see from our family, which is sometimes you don't see very good things from our family, but when you see good things from our family, it's not because of me. Andrea hates the center of attention. In fact, it kills her to even think about me talking about her in this way, because she doesn't want the spotlight. She doesn't want the credit for anything. Andrea learned a long time ago that the best place to be famous is not up front or on camera. The best place for her is to be number one in the eyes of Christ. The number one thing that she wants is, the goal is that she takes, that God knows that she has him higher than everything. She cares that our daughter knows how loved she is. She cares that Addie grows up to love other people more than herself. Moms, can I say this? Stop depending on other people and other people's opinions for your value. Can I remind you that there is only one opinion that you have to care about, and that is God's opinion of you. And the second thing is, are you where God wants you to be? Now, this should be a question that every one of us, even us guys that are sitting in the room and watching this, it should be one of those questions that all of us ask ourselves. Am I doing what I was made to do? Am I following where God wants me to be? Moms, dads, grandparents, teenagers, kids, it doesn't matter. We all struggle to make sure that we're finding the place that God wants us, being exactly where God designed us to be. I think of one of the greatest women in the Bible, Esther, the queen of Persia. She's face to face with this decision, protecting the people of God or remaining silent. And her cousin, Mordecai, he inspires her to approach the king of Persia. And now I want you to catch this. It's a great moment for Esther as queen to be invited. Mordecai says to her, he says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the people of God will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just a time as this. That's from Esther 4:14. Esther was placed exactly where God wanted her to be. Ladies, moms, you are where God wants you to be. Husbands, you are where God wants you to be. We can all get frustrated sometimes. We get overwhelmed with life. Yes, it feels like, moms, I know you, ladies, you feel like you're carrying the weight of your entire family on your shoulders, especially right now during the pressures of the virus and things that are going on to keep your family safe and protected. While you're stuck at home, you're trying to do everything. I feel like that your plate is even fuller because of everything that you have to do. My poor wife has to deal with planning meals and while she's going through nursing school, dealing with cleaning up after us, helping me help Addie with school, with math work that just frustrates me, being a support for our entire family, taking the weight of pressures that we all feel. Ladies, you are the bearer of burdens that I think sometimes men can't even carry, especially us husbands. We sometimes will just get frustrated and fall apart. But you ladies, just, you have this Energizer Bunny attitude that just keeps going. You are where God wants you to be, and he will not let you fall apart. Put your hope in him. The kids you've been blessed with, it's where God wants you to be. The kid you have not been blessed with, it's where God wants you to be. The family that you have, the friends you have been placed right where God wants you, with the people that he wants you to be with. You are where God wants you to be right now. Number three, be the biggest influence you can be. This is where we come into the idea of the joy of being a mom, being a mother. The Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to Timothy, because Timothy was a young man in the ministry, and he says to this, he says, I remember your genuine faith, Timothy, I remember that. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you. Now, Paul is celebrating the legacy of these godly women in Timothy's life, his grandmother and his mother, and that two generations of faith have been invested in Timothy's life this pastor's life. And he is now the third generation to experience Christ, not because of the male influence in his life. Paul doesn't mention any male influence that was there in Timothy's life. It is the women that were the ones who were the influence, the godly influence on Timothy. Moms, be a positive influence in the lives of your children. I don't care what your husbands think or believe or feel. God has put you in their lives to be a godly influence. Let me expand that even more. Being a Christian influence in your children's lives, you're building a legacy that your children will carry on with them to their kids and to their families. Generations after you're gone, moms, grandmothers, you are building a godly influence for the kids that are in your life right now. You are making the way. I'll tell you this much. There have been the reason that the church has continued the way that it has, not just Kellogg'sville, but all the churches that I've ever been a part of. The main reason that the churches have been going strong is not because of a man standing up and being what a man is and being manly. It has been because of the moms and the widows and the women who have been faithful to church. They've been faithful to give from the poverty that they had. I remember the story of Dave Thomas. He was an adopted young man by his grandmother. In 1995, he wrote in his book, Well Done, he says, "I was 11 years old. My adopted grandmother took me to Michigan Gull Lake to be baptized by immersion. I really felt that I was accepted by God when I was baptized. But what I remembered most, listen to this, what I remember most about my baptism was that my grandmother Minnie made it happen. For her, Christianity meant more than doctrine and religion you talk about on Sundays. It meant teaching her grandson about faith in Jesus Christ." Mothers, I know you have it hard, but my prayer is for you that you will be able to find joy in motherhood. Be the biggest influence that you can be for your kids and even for your husbands. Don't settle for being a cool mom. Strive for being the Christ-like mom. Be an example at home. Be an example at church and at work. Your influence matters for the next generation. I think of how important women have been in the life of not only my life, but the life of the church. In my life especially, there was a group of ladies that surrounded me. One was my mother, and the reason I'm wearing this purple shirt today is because of my mom. My mom loves the color purple, so I'm wearing this shirt for her this morning. My mom was such a huge influence on my spiritual life, on my relationship with my wife, and everything good I am today I owe to my wife and my mother. But there's also my aunt Connie. She was single, never married. And she moved from California to back home where my parents lived to help raise me, help with my family to raise me into a godly influence. She was the one who helped me through school, through grade school. My mom was my teacher. My mom was my nurse. My mom was everything. And then there was my grandmother Ruth. Grandmother Ruth, she was my spelling teacher. And now I'm not a very good speller, and it's not her fault. That comes through genes and genetics, but man, I think of the influences that these women had in my life, and I wouldn't be able to read and write and do some of the basic skills that I have if not for these godly women in my life teaching me. And I also think of the godly influence and spiritual influence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I get that from a lot of the men in my life, but mostly it came from a lot of the women, because those are the ones that I spent most of my time with as I was growing up. My dad was working. He had to work 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week in the coal mines. But it was my mom who was the one who did devotions with me, would pray with me in the mornings. My dad would get up and pray with me before going to work, but it was my mom who took me to school, who made me do devotions, who made me read my Bible, who made me memorize scripture. And if it wasn't for those things, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And a lot of those people were not even my mother. But the godly influence that women have in our lives is incredible. This morning, I want you, as you're with your your mom, or maybe your mom's already gone to heaven, or maybe your mother's already passed away. And I want you to right now, if you have a woman in your house right now, if you have a lady in your house right now, kids, get around your moms, husbands, get around your wives. And I want you to hold hands with them. And I want you to, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray a special blessing for our mothers today because of how special they are. And just a blessing on them to give them the strength and the energy to continue being the influence, the godly influence that they are. So let's get together right now with them. I'll give you a moment and we're going to pray with them. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the influence, the godly influence of the ladies that are in our lives. Father, from mothers and aunts to grandmothers, our wives, just there's so many important people in our lives, God, that are building us and are forming us into the people that we want to be for you. Lord, we love you and we're so thankful for our moms and grandmothers and aunts. We're so thankful for our wives. We're so thankful for the influence that they have on our children and on our lives. And God, we're asking that you would just give a double portion of blessing to them today. Father, there's so many times that they just get left off to the side or they're not in the spotlight. It's the ones that are the heroes that get the notoriety. But God, we're asking that you would just give them a special blessing today, Father, to know that they're loved, know that they're loved by you, that they have a purpose because of you, that they wouldn't be pressured by the society, by Facebook, by Twitter, on all the things that they see, that they wouldn't be pressured by those things, but that they would know that they're loved by an almighty creator, God, and they're also loved by those that are surrounding them today, Father. Lord, I ask that you would just give them peace and endurance as they do the things that they do. They hold our families together. They're such an incredible group of people, even in the life of our church. Our church would not be as strong as it is today if it wasn't for the godly women who stood up and came to church when their husbands wouldn't, who stood up and brought their children to church when their husbands wouldn't. So we're thankful for them today, God. Lord, we ask for a special blessing on them today. Give them a special week, God. Just give them, help them to feel loved and surrounded by love from those that are around them. Help us as kids and as husbands to be extra loving and do something special for them this week, that they would know that they're loved. And we just ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Moms, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace this week. Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies out there. Moms or not, you're still godly and influencing in the lives of those that are around you. And we are thankful for you today.